The following podcast contains strong language and adult themes and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hanky Digital presents The Skin. Show me what lies beneath. An audiobook podcast by Christian Heinke. Chapter 13. Harm. "Are you just passing through, or are you on vacation in our lovely little town?" asked the barista, a hefty woman with small eyes who resembled a pig. He smiled at her with exaggerated cheerfulness, amused that someone behind a large, shiny coffee machine was called a barista. "No, I'm probably going to stay in your little town for a while," he replied, secretly thinking, "Holy Catherine. What human scum you must live among here." "Business or pleasure?" the barista inquired, her demeanor almost cartoonish. "I'm visiting a friend," he answered. "Oh," she said, disappointment evident as she handed him a cup. "White chocolate mocha. After all, one must study their prey." Once he finished his drink, he settled on the steps of a small pavilion and watched seagulls circling above. "A beautiful town, Catherine," he thought. "A truly lovely little town." He laughed loudly and heartily, convinced that a woman passing by was thinking, "What a pleasant laugh. There should be more people with a laugh like that." By the time Catherine excused herself that morning, she felt surprisingly good. She had managed to slip through a side entrance, evading the pack of lurking reporters. In a souvenir shop, she bought a large pair of sunglasses. Without makeup and with her hair tied back in a ponytail, she achieved an inconspicuous look that allowed her to reach Andy's practice unnoticed. He had planned to pick her up and asked her to inform him when she was discharged, but she wanted to surprise him. Jamie's eyes widened when Catherine appeared at the reception desk. "Miss Williams," she said, taken aback. "I'd like to see Andy. Is he in?" Catherine asked, eagerly peering over Jamie's shoulder. "Wasn't he going to pick you up?" "Yes, but I thought I'd surprise him." "Oh," Jamie exclaimed. "Oh?" Catherine responded. "He's not here. He's in New York and just told me he's heading to Baltimore from there." Now it was Catherine's turn to say "oh" once more. "Miss Williams?" Jamie asked. "Yes, I want you to know that I'm deeply sorry about what happened to you." "Thank you, Jamie. That's very kind of you." Jamie hesitated. Catherine could guess why. "You want to know if Andy and I are together, right?" Jamie nodded vigorously. "Honestly, I'm not sure myself yet. Do you love him?" Jamie asked. "Love him?" Catherine pondered. It was the first time she had considered that question. Did she love Andy? Surprisingly, the answer was a resounding yes. "I think so," she replied. "Then it's clear," Jamie said calmly, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. "Perhaps it is that simple," Catherine thought. It had been that simple all these years, and the pain had only deceived her. "You're probably right," she said quietly to Jamie, then turned to leave. But she paused. She had reached Andy's office, but hadn't thought about how to get from there to her estate. "Clever, impressively clever, Miss Williams." "Jamie, I think I have a bit of a problem." Jamie's eyes widened. The famous Catherine Williams was asking her for a favor. "How can I help?" she asked excitedly. "Too bad," he thought. The press surrounded the Rolleston estate like a medieval fortress. There was no way to get in unnoticed. He was about to turn back in the rental car when he spotted a parked UPS van on the side of the road. He looked at his watch. The driver was likely taking a lunch break. A grin spread across his face. An initial plan began to form in his mind. He parked a little distance from the van, opened the trunk of his car, and changed. Thank goodness he had remembered his good suit. Andy was halfway to Baltimore when his cell phone rang. "Yes?" he answered.
"Hi, Andy, it's me,"
Catherine said on the other end. Her voice sounded slightly muffled. "Where are you?" he asked.
"In Jamie's trunk."
"Where?"
"Jamie's smuggling me onto the estate in her car."
"Where?"
"Don't worry, Andy, I'll get enough air. From the sound of it, we're there. Hang on. Do you hear me?"
"Kathy?" The connection broke. Andy sighed and hung up, feeling a bit annoyed. Why couldn't she wait a day? In a small corner of his confidence, doubt gnawed at him. Would it be different this time? Or would Catherine's volatility once again lead to the relationship's downfall? But that wasn't the question, was it? The real question was about his feelings for Catherine. Did he love her? Did he truly love her? Instead of answering, he sighed and continued driving. After 5 hours on the road, Helen stopped for a quick break. A much-needed trip to the restroom, a bland sandwich, and an iced tea later, she was back on the interstate. Suddenly, a bright flash of light filled her. Car, followed instantly by thunder. Helen flinched. She must have been driving too slowly for the truck driver behind her. He switched on his headlights and honked his horn. Finally, he overtook her, and she watched the massive side of the trailer glide past like a whale. The truck's license plate said it all about the man at the wheel. BAD2BONE. "Lovely," Helen muttered. "Bad to the bone." "Hilarious." The play on words triggered a memory. But what was it? She continued to fixate on the license plate. The letters seemed random at first glance, but made sense when read correctly. BAD2BONE. Bad to bone. What was the license plate trying to tell her? Who was bad to the bone? The killer was bad to the bone. Mia, Inez, Anu, Lauren, Vivian, Ella, all dead. M-I-A-L-V-E. Mialve? What does that mean? Nothing. I-M-A-V-E-L. V-E-L-A-M-I. I-M-A-L-V-E. Imalve. I'm alive. I am alive. The killer had been saying all along in his letters that he was still alive. "I'm alive," Helen whispered. Parker Daly was indeed not dead. "Damn it," Helen pressed down on the gas pedal, overtaking the bewildered trucker at breakneck speed. After another exhausting 2.5 hours, she finally reached Wallens Ridge State Prison. The facility was perched on a plateau, nestled in the rolling landscape typical of Virginia, accessible only via a narrow country road. It was almost midnight when Helen parked her car in the lot. Wallens was a maximum security prison, classified as Category 5, the highest security level. Helen passed through 2 gates before finally entering the facility. At the first gate, her weapon was confiscated, and at the second, her badge was checked against an unfamiliar database. At last, she arrived at the administrative wing to meet the director, a man named Garrison. The guard escorted her to a door, which he opened with a buzzer. "Please," he said, holding the door for her. Helen stepped into the room. It served as an interrogation room. The space was small and bare, except for a dark-skinned woman in an elegant outfit seated at a narrow table. "Detective Louisiani, please have a seat," the woman said in a smooth, somewhat irritating voice, glancing past Helen at the security guard. "It's fine, Henry." The guard nodded and closed the door behind him. "I was hoping to speak with Director Garrison, Miss Arnold, Ashera Arnold." "Ashera, that's a beautiful name," Helen replied. "It's Sumerian," the woman explained, as if that sufficed. "When can I speak to Director Garrison?" "This won't happen, I'm afraid. Garrison informed me that you would like to see the file of a deceased prisoner. I've come to speak with you in person instead." "How pleasant, and you are..." "Ashera Arnold, I already told you that." "No, I mean, are you Mr. Garrison's superior?" "In a manner of speaking." "Could you clarify?" "No." "You're being difficult," Helen remarked coolly. The woman smirked. Not really. I just wish I could have saved you the trip, Detective. Unfortunately, you came for nothing. What do you mean by that? You know exactly what I mean. You will not obtain any information here. Your investigation into this prisoner ends right here, in this room, with this conversation. Listen to me, sweetheart. No, you listen to me. The woman interrupted sternly. Your New York cop demeanor doesn't impress me, Detective. There's no information here about the late Parker Daly. I don't believe that. I think you're trying to obstruct a police officer in her investigation. You're mistaken. On the contrary, I'm simply pointing out that you're searching for answers in the wrong place. And where would be the right place? Anywhere but here. But Parker Daly is alive, Helen insisted. How do you? The woman began to ask. Helen grinned. So the bastard was indeed still alive. Ashera smiled in approval. You're better than you look at first glance, Detective. Helen narrowed her eyes. Ashera continued to smile. It's not usually easy to get information from me. You're quite confident, Miss Arnold. Arnold hesitated. No. I just have years of experience. All right, let's discuss Mr. Daly again. You've already revealed too much about Daly for my liking. Ashera paused, then added, How would you like to become Detective Third Grade? You'd jump two pay grades. Your promotion could depend on the outcome of this interview. Helen grinned. Fuck you. Oh, Detective, please, that's beneath you. I'm just matching the tone of this room. Don't get abusive, Ashera said sharply, then regained her composure. All right, if it's not money you want, what is it? Parker Daly, Helen replied calmly. Where is he? Ashera held Helen's gaze. Right now? She asked. Exactly. St. Michael's, Maryland. Shit, Helen gasped. You could say that. You knew where he was all along, didn't you, and you did nothing about it. Believe me, Detective, it's more complicated than you think. I don't care. I'm arresting you for accessory to multiple murder, Helen declared, standing up and knocking on the door.
Guard, open up!
The door opened, and the guard peered in. Yes? I want you to take Miss Arnold into custody. A brow raised on the man's face. Ashera shook her head with a smile. It's all right, Henry. Just a little female banter. The guard closed the door again. Helen swallowed. A civil servant fawning over this woman? Who the hell are you? Ashera seemed to find the question unnecessary and didn't answer. There's a helicopter waiting for you outside, she said instead. It will take you to St. Michael's as quickly as possible. Maybe you'll still be able to save Catherine Williams's life. Although that's unlikely. Helen struggled to keep her emotions in check. She had envisioned various scenarios to extract information about Daly, but never imagined being dismissed by this putana. And if I turn down this generous offer? She asked in a friendly, playful tone. What then? Do you really want me to tell you, my dear? Fuck you, hissed Helen. It's all right, Detective. I understand this situation is incredibly frustrating for you. Just do your job, and I'll assist you as much as I can. We're not done with each other yet, Miss Arnold. Oh, yes, we are. Ashera Arnold stood up and called out, Henry. The door opened again. Please escort Detective Louisiani to the helicopter. Arnold instructed the guard, then turned to Helen to say goodbye. Leonard Johnson, one of my closest confidants, will accompany you to St. Michael's. Nice to meet you, Detective. Helen did not take the outstretched hand. Here you go, Jamie said, handing Catherine a cup of hot chocolate topped with marshmallows. Thank you, Jamie, Helen replied, taking a sip. It was exquisitely sweet and reminded her of her childhood. Since the start of her modeling career, she had avoided such indulgences. She rummaged through her handbag for her cell phone. When had she last held it? Shit, she exclaimed. I heard that, Jamie said with a smile. Catherine noticed that Jamie viewed supermodels as ideal beings, especially here. Jamie seemed to believe Catherine walked on imported air, as Blondie once sang, and that her farts smelled like cologne. She forced herself not to giggle. I think I left my cell phone in the trunk when I called Andy earlier, she said. No problem. I'll get it, Jamie replied, dashing out the door before Catherine could object. Professor Talbot was a quiet, unassuming man, the exact opposite of Umbridge. He spoke about Parker daily with a sad expression. From a good family, handsome, well-mannered, exactly the kind of boy any mother would want as a son-in-law. Talbot also mentioned a brutal assault on a female student. Apparently, a man wearing an Aztec mask had attempted to rape her, but the student fought him off. The campus police investigation led to Parker Daly. The professor could not understand how Daly had managed to avoid expulsion. He had persuaded the girl to retract her accusations, and later she confessed that she had fabricated the entire story because she was infatuated with Daly and wanted to retaliate for his indifference. "And they just took her word for it?" Andy asked, puzzled. "Looking back, it sounds unbelievable, but Parker Daly had a certain charisma about him. How should I put it? People trusted him. In discussions, he had a knack for persuading everyone to adopt his point of view. This young man was brilliant, you know? Believe me, he had the potential to be president." Talbot paused. "I mean, of course, before he committed the murders." Ashera Arnold sat in an armored Phaeton limousine on her way to Washington, contemplating the best steps to protect the project. She couldn't shake the thought of that little cop. Despite what most of her co-workers might say, Ashera had a bit of a heart. She respected Detective Helen Louisiani, whose only offense was her desire to improve the world. Helen Louisiani reminded her of herself, though their standards were different. Her cell phone rang. She answered it. "Arnold," she said.
"Williams here."
"Hello, Senator."
"Feeling formal all of a sudden? Weren't you planning to take out Winter?"
"Daly beat us to it."
"Maybe you should have consulted me first."
"What games are we playing now, Senator? Winter would have talked. I couldn't take that risk."
"You should have asked me first."
"What difference does it make now?"
"None."
"Well, then."
"Is the policewoman finished yet?"
"As good as."
"Very good. Just let me know. And take care of Daly. Don't let him near my daughter. Understood?"
"Of course. Goodbye, Senator." Ashera hung up, feeling a sense of unease. How strange. Sometimes problems just resolve themselves. She pressed speed dial and called a number. "Leonard?"
"I can hear you."
"Is everything done already?"
"No."
"I assume she's going to leave us over the bay?"
"Correct."
"When?"
"ETA in about 80 minutes.
"Thank you, Leonard." Ashera closed her cell phone. It was true. Sometimes problems really did solve themselves. Catherine's cell phone was in the trunk of Jamie's Honda. Jamie slammed the tailgate shut when she noticed movement out of the corner of her eye. Apparently, one of the large doors leading to the stables was not fully closed. Jamie decided to tackle the issue. The stable gates were enormous. You could hide a truck behind them, or even an entire UPS van. What on earth was a vehicle like that doing in a stable? Curious, she stepped inside the building. Inside, the air was thick with the scent of old hay, and there stood a UPS van. Jamie walked past it, unaware of the blood smeared across the windshield. The passenger side sliding door was closed, but something dripped onto the floor below. A crimson drag mark led into one of the empty horse stalls. Jamie followed the trail to the stall. There, lying inside, was a man in a UPS uniform. His throat had been slit, and the old straw beneath him formed a dark red nest around his head. So much blood, Jamie thought, just as someone grabbed her from behind. A brief searing pain shot through her. So much blood.
She offers comfort like good people do.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Heinke Digital audiobook podcasts and its author Christian Heinke, please visit heinke.digital.